Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. Kicking off this week with Brian Lenny, a good friend of the show and the founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website, which I will post a link to below this interview. Now, Brian, you just came back from a site visit in Nevada, and you and I were chatting off mic, and you mentioned the conversation that was had on the drive out to one of the sites where there was a bit of a debate going on between... one side was arguing that you need to pick a commodity and understand when that commodity is uptrending, and then from there, drive down and find some of the good companies. So more of a top-down approach. But there is also this other argument, something that you do, which is more of a bottom-up approach, where you find a good company, and then you drive up to the underlying metal and resource and all the economics around that to get more of a big picture and still balance out when you invest. Now, there are arguments for both sides, both strategies being correct. But first and foremost, please take us through why you like the bottom-up strategy and how that played into that little debate that you guys had on route to the site.
Sure. Yeah, it was a good conversation. So first and foremost, I'm a strong believer in separating the metal and the company. And probably the biggest factor being because the people are the big factor when it comes to driving a company or a share price upwards. They have to execute on a plan. And if they don't execute, no matter where that metal price is, as a shareholder, you're not going to get that value. And so one of the big things, you know, we talk about being the right commodity, blah, blah, blah. But I think one of the points that maybe is a good example is to look at the gold price. You know, much of the narratives surrounding future high gold prices is driven by the instability of the global financial system, you know, which it's been propped up by quantitative easing, low interest rates. So many people would say that, oh, we should see higher gold prices in the future. Well, if you look at the chart, in 2011, we reach, you know, $1,900 gold, and all of those kind of fundamental thoughts are all in place to say, okay, you know, gold should keep on going higher or should at least stay at this level. But it didn't. You know, over the next, 5 or 6 years, we went right back down to $1,000 or $1,050, I guess, was the low. And if, in my opinion, we only saw the fundamentals get stronger to say that the gold price should be rising. And then for anybody who is an investor in the junior resource sector, you know, we saw that, you know, the market's been in a bear market for probably the last 8 years. And, you know, even though the everything was saying that the metal price should go up, it wasn't. And neither were the shares or most of the shares in the companies. So I think the bottom line comes down to is that nobody can really predict with any consistency where that price is headed. You know, over a long enough duration of time, you can be right about where you think the metal price is going. But, you know, given the time value of money, are you actually right? So for me, I like to focus in on the people. I like to make sure that my downside risk is protected. And most of all, I like to think as deeply as I can about that given company and, you know, cut through that popular narrative that's out there.
Okay, so a couple things to unpack here. One, yes, don't listen to anybody that says they know exactly when the metals price is turning, and also make sure when you are listening to somebody on kind of a general comment on where a sector is going, go check their past history, because if they called bottoms every week or every month and then finally said they picked it, well, that's not exactly the safest person to pay attention to. But when you do actually drive into companies, there's something that should be noted is that for the last like 6-7 years before really 2019, when gold was moving sideways, that if you're a top-down investor is not the great time to invest. You wouldn't have been investing at all in the sector. But quite frankly, there were a couple great gains. We have Wesdome moving. We had Silvercrest. We had even Novo bounce there. Great Bear, Atlantic Gold, a handful of companies that completely outperformed the market. And, well, produced some very nice gains for investors, but this wasn't in a rising gold environment. And also now when you look at, say, gold and the breakout it's had, it's been very selective stocks that have moved. So maybe you can address the timing of, say, you are trying to play a move in a broad sense, the top-down investing. Top-down investing to me really seems to work in the middle to end part of a gold, of a bull market in general, rather than an early part, because money is still trying to figure out where to go. Can you address that timing aspect of it?
Well, yeah, I think in retrospect, that definitely works. When you can kind of pick out when those kind of shoulders of the market are. But I still think it comes down to being able to time it. And I think more often than not, people will get it wrong. And that's why I think, you know, by concentrating on, as you put it, it's a good way to put it, the bottom-up approach, looking at the company fundamentals first, I think what it'll do is it'll force you to be in the best companies all the time. And if you consistently pick the best, you may miss out on a couple high flyers or whatever. But what I think it's going to do is make you more consistent. And I think over time, I think that's going to make you more profitable or more successful over the long haul, because you want to avoid those, you know, big drops in the market, which correlate to, you know, share prices dropping. And if you can avoid those by sticking with the best, I think there's much higher probability for being successful.
So all about more or less, well, being protected, right? This is still a very risky sector, and a lot of small cap investing is very risky. So you do need to choose more or less the right companies. Now, you even mentioned, or you and I were talking again off mic about that whole concept of peak gold. And that's one of the things that plays into some of the bullish arguments, along with economic data and general geopolitical fears that have more people paying attention to gold. But in all fairness, these fears, sometimes they never really dissipate. And that's what keeps some of the gold bugs, especially focused on gold. But when it comes to peak gold, and also tying in with your site visit in Nevada, how did this come up during the site visit? And how do you look at that whole argument of so-called peak gold? And that's something that'll drive the price substantially higher.
Sure. It's actually one of the things that it crept into my mind as we were standing on this ridge overlooking Goldstrike. And, you know, Goldstrike and the other mines, I forget the names, where, you know, Barrick, Newmont, Goldcorp, you know, this trifecta that has merged into Nevada Gold Mines. And I was listening to Luke Norman, who was the guy leading the site visit, and he was talking about these mines and their history and kind of where they're moving in the future. And so for those that don't know, like these have started off as open pit mines that have now gone underground, and they just seemingly are going deeper and deeper and expanding. And, you know, across the horizon, basically all you see in this area is open pits and trucks and leach pads and a roaster. And it's just really interesting to see. But it really made me think, you know, in my head, I was like, you know what? This whole idea of peak gold, I don't think there's a lot of validity to it. And the reason why that is because seemingly as we progress, whether it be like an open pit project becomes an underground, or mainly as that gold price rises, it brings a lot more ounces that haven't been discovered or have been discovered into economic viability. And because of that, I think, you know, it's always just a matter of the gold price or the metal price that's really the cap on that supply. And therefore, I really don't think that peak gold is going to be an issue in the future. It'll just be how high is the gold price going to go.
Okay, now gold, I think, should be separated from a lot of the other metals because, you know what, gold, yes, it does have a lot of uses, but its price is so much higher than what any company would need the price to be to actually take a take advantage of these uses. So quite frankly, majority of the gold that has been mined is still above ground and still available for the most part to be kind of traded back and forth if needed. But what about when you hear such arguments for something like copper, where the metal is used? It's out of the ground and it's immediately used in different products that we use every day. Does that argument hold any credence to you when it comes to different metals, ones that say aren't gold?
That's a really good point. I think as you creep into the base metals or those sort of ones that have industrial connotation, I think the interesting thing that happens, and you know, we sort of see it in the battery metals, for instance, where the cobalt price took off, and then what did the industry or manufacturing industry do? Well, they started to focus on the nickel component and how they could keep the energy density high, but reduce the reliance on cobalt in that the battery chemistry. So what I'm trying to say is, I think with the base metals, the other side to it is, I think that technology and the ability for people to innovate will probably, again, cap any huge supply constraints that'll be in the future. But it all depends, I guess, on timing. But then again, I think that the narrative still fits that I think it's all a function of price. And, you know, as that price goes up, more things become an option to mine and to discover further. So to me, I think, you know, these peak or constrained supply, they're viable in the short term, but over the long term, I think we'll always come up with a way to supplement that. And therefore, it's over the long haul, it's not a concern.
Yeah, so true. That substitution that a lot of companies are able to make happen when metals run too much. Can you share with us then, Brian, it's kind of a wrap up here as to what you are focused on. Feel free to share any companies or just maybe jurisdictions or really your overall thought, how your strategy has been investing in this market that has been better for the precious metals. But you know what, in the last couple of months has kind of drifted down and very much set up a new trading range, which we don't know how long we're going to be in this trading range for.
Sure. Well, one of the interesting things that I've been following is the progression in the nickel market. Remu nickel mine, I know some people will know this through Cobalt 27, had a royalty on the mine. They had a spill in September, and just last week, I believe it was last Wednesday, they were closed down pending environmental investigation. And this is another interesting thing for the nickel market. You know, again, another supply constraint. And again, I'm just talking broadly because I think it's interesting as a market. Who knows kind of how that the nickel price is going to go. But there seemingly is more and more things that suggest that there's a higher probability of sustained high nickel prices or higher nickel prices in the future than, you know, a couple weeks ago. So I continue to watch that market. And for those that, you know, haven't heard before, right now I'm only invested in one nickel company, and that's FPX Nickel. The other side to it is I think precious metals continue to be the place to be. And again, with the highest quality companies and people you want to put yourself with. And to me, again, I see much higher probability that we'll see higher precious metal prices in the future. And I'm mainly talking about gold. As the world, you know, still remains to be a very tricky place in terms of risk. And that's kind of my sole focus right now.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there, Brian. Always great chatting with you. I find our conversations, too, that divert a little bit away from individual companies and talk more about investment strategy. I really respect what you have to say, and it's one of the reasons why I always bounce a lot of the companies that come to me through you first and, well, a couple other of our guests because, hey, it's always good getting a little bit more feedback. But, hey, if anybody has any questions for Brian or wants us to discuss any companies that you are looking at, please feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. And remember, go click that link below and go visit Brian's website. Brian, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey.